This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday. Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback on Tuesdays. With us every Tuesday, Peter King Skypes on in from New York City. None better than the MMQB's Peter King. I want to talk to Peter about the quality of the NFL because, again, last night I'm watching the New York Giants offensive line have no clue what they're doing, and Eli Manning getting crushed and the coach of the Giants ripping on Eli after the game is over. Close to unwatchable, although I thought Detroit was somewhat entertaining. I get it. It's Monday Night Football. It's New York City, so they're going to show frustrated, exasperated Giants fans and dudes with hats on backwards, like looking at each other like, how can this be happening? Why is it we suck again? And so I watched quite a bit of that last night. I saw some of the Diamondbacks game. I don't know if it's you, me, the Padres. It just feels kind of like spring training now. I know they're going to make it. They're not clinched yet. I get it. But they're not going to gag this thing away. And so they've dropped a couple in a row. They lost at San Francisco Sunday. Last night I watched a couple of innings, and it was like, it's Padres, it's fine. I'm not going to get too high or too low off of it. So that was my night in a nutshell, was watching both those games. And in Peter's deal today, I do want to talk about the Cowboys coming here. So is this the same deal when Dallas rolls into Phoenix? The world basically ends for those that are Cardinal fans because it's no longer your home field. Like, this isn't what it once was, where every team that rolled in here would have 2-to-1 fan base. I remember coming here like in 93 when I interviewed and got the gig. It was 94 season. They had a home game with Miami, and there were so many Dolphin fans. This was at Sun Devil. And it was just dreadful. And through the years, this whole thing about fans taking over the stadium becomes a big topic. And I'm not going to go into a big, long ordeal with Peter on any of that stuff. I just think you to me talking, it's a deal when the Cowboys are here. It's a deal when the Packers are here. Remember the playoff game with the Packers, the terrific playoff game a couple of years back. Where it was like a Packer home game in certain parts of the stadium. So you start looking ahead to the Cowboys coming here, and I don't know how you can be a Cowboy fan when there's always drama. I don't get it. I don't get how you'd want to have a team where there's always a dude in trouble, or there's always a dude. It's like the Raiders, I guess. And in particular, when your team's just not that good every year. Now, last year, they were great. I'm not comparing Cardinals to Cowboys. I'm not even comparing fan base to fan base. I'm just saying if you're a Cowboy fan, I guess it's something you probably grew up with when they were good. You know, I'm not so sure why would there be any infatuation with Ezekiel Elliott right now? Like, why would you put an Ezekiel Elliott jersey on? Why would you even wear it? What is the attraction? A guy that quits in the middle of a play? So what if he rushes? So what if he's got a cool nickname? Hey, Zeke. So what? When you saw what happened on Sunday, I think most anybody who watches the NFL, and if you're a Cowboy fan in particular, I'd really like an explanation. Drop me an email. You know, here's why. You know, and try to be rational about it. Don't go down the line of, hey, Brad, F you, bleep this, bleep that. I'm not. But if you could just please explain to me what the attraction is with Ezekiel Elliott. I get it with Dak Prescott. I get it. Dak Prescott has left Tony Romo in his rearview mirror. You know, Tony Romo maybe being on the roster and looking over Dak Prescott's shoulder last year helped push him and motivate him. I don't know. He's not there this year. Dak Prescott is good this year through two games. But the quality of the NFL continues to be an overriding topic. The Sunday night rating was not good. It was the lowest in a decade between Green Bay and Atlanta. Why is that? Are we continuing to see the erosion and the chipping away of a league that fans have said, I'm tired of hearing about Colin Kaepernick. I'm tired of hearing about officers holding arms together in Cleveland and people taking a knee on the national anthem and it being very divided within the stadium. I'm tired of seeing sloppy, sloppy, sloppy football. because through the first couple of weeks, I mean, the offensive line play has been just horrendous. Even for the Cardinals, Carson has been bumped around like a ping pong ball trying to escape and keep himself upright. The stuff about Roger Goodell, whether he should be or shouldn't be commissioner, the things that come along his desk, the hatred towards New England, all that stuff. And when the TV ratings come out and show that the Packers-Falcons game was just awful in terms of people watching it, I think there's room for discussion. You know, we're not going to sit here and bow down and say, oh, this is the greatest thing. No, it's not. It's not. Arians' deal on yesterday saying that Carson played a whole lot better than he initially thought. So is this Bruce Arians' way of going about business? And it pretty much is, where he's going to grind you and he's going to be hard on you on game day, and then he's going to come back and do the tough love and put the arm around him. Carson Palmer supposedly can handle all this. But does there come a point where you look at it and say, you know, all that was great when Carson was 32, 33, 30. It's not happening. Did he make some good throws? Sure. But go look at the quarterback rating and what it looks like right now. It's not good through 2 weeks. So, you know, a game that you looked at on the surface and said, wow, home opener, Cardinals. Eric, are you going? You going Cardinals?
I am. I am going on Monday.
You're going to go
Looking
Monday.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. And the good news for the Cardinals and Carson Palmer is the Cowboys secondary made Trevor Siemian look like a future Hall of Famer afternoon in Denver. So not all hope is lost just yet.
We have Fabiano coming up today, right?
Yep.
So do you think we're going to get run over with, do you drop Carson Palmer? Do you play Carson Palmer against Cowboys secondary?
He has been on the radar for the last 5 or 6 weeks between you and Fabiano. It was Fabiano saying he's a sleeper, and then Fabiano saying, I messed that one up, and you saying, well, I still think Carson has value, and him saying, yeah, I think he also has value. And then last week against the Colts, pretty subpar. But it's, you know, the only thing the only predictable thing about fantasy football is unpredictability. That's what Fabiano always says.
So he's coming up at 10:50. Ish, he's on the set.
Whenever he gets off the set, and I get the text. Yeah, 10:45 ish.
Are you on my side on the Diamondbacks thing? It's just kind of. Are you watching every pitch? Like just found myself last night saying, it's not that I don't care.
Not at all.
I am interested.
We're just sort of at that point where it's like, let's just get to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's
they're going to make it. They're not going to catch the Dodgers. They're going to host the wild card. All that is, you know, what, 2 weeks from today?
Tomorrow.
Season ends.
Or 2 weeks from tomorrow is the game.
2 weeks from tomorrow is the game. We're just, you don't want to say playing out the string, but at this point, they're just pretty much playing out the string.
Are we too well to attend work 2 weeks from tomorrow?
I would think so.
So we're too well to attend work day. We have not had one of those in a long, long time where we're both looking at each other saying, we're just not well enough to attend work today.
Just don't go down the, will the ballpark be full for an afternoon playoff wild card
I wouldn't
game.
Mind just going and sitting at an establishment, you and I and some friends, and we just throw something out on the table and have a little adult beverage and watch the game. I don't even have to go to the ballpark to watch the game, because I think Haley and Jordan are going.
They are.
And they're both seam heads. So, I mean, it's not that we're not – I can't speak for you. I'm not a seam head. I love baseball. I really do. I'm more into the Diamondbacks and what they're doing right now than the Cardinals in September football. So September football is turning into August football for me, which just, okay, I can see what's going on here. It is the war of attrition.
Did you watch the Monday night game last night?
If you were listening in the early part of the show.
I did not hear the early part of it.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm multitasking.
You do
scenes,
a lot of things.
So.
I watched it. I watched... I was back and forth between baseball.
I know you said you watched some of the Diamondback game. I didn't catch what you said about the Monday night game.
The Monday night game was just...
it just was
Detroit's okay. Detroit's okay. Detroit actually looks somewhat crisp. And I have an interest in Devon Kennard. So I coached Devon Kennard in basketball when he was a fifth grader.
Yep.
And he'd foul out of games in 5 minutes because he was so big and strong. And he'd just throw kids would go flying off Devo.
Giants linebacker and former Desert Vista standout, correct?
One of the biggest hits I ever saw in high school football is Devon laying out some poor little soul running back where his helmet went flying and he thought the kid's head was inside the helmet and just kind of decapitated him. So I was watching Devon last night like, I love that kid. Foul number one, foul number two. Hey, Devo, you got three. We're a minute into the game. He was just so aggressive. It was beautiful. We're going to talk about the ASU-Oregon game here in a little bit. I thought Doug Howler had a very good column, or story, I should say, today on ASU with some numbers that when you hear them, you say, yeesh. And I'm not going into the 1-2 record. It's just there's one stat in particular that is defense-related where Arizona State is dead last out of 130 teams in the nation through three games. And it's not like they played a murderer's row. And it's one stat that I do think bears watching. One last thought here in the segment before we get to Peter. So we had Jeff Van Raphorst on yesterday, and Jeff and I are friends. Jeff and I have a great deal of respect for each other. He is a Hall of Famer, and he and I just disagreed yesterday and it wasn't anything nasty. I think Jeff's interview yesterday was tension, was it? Yeah. So I got some notes yesterday saying, boy, I thought you and Rapper were boys and all that stuff. Yeah, we had a little disagreement on where things are with the program. It's nothing major. And if you want to check it out, it's over on the website at sports360az.com. Television show is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We're on before and after the Diamondbacks-Padres game starting at 5:30 tonight and tomorrow night and Thursday morning as well. Peter King is next, our weekly segment with the MMQB's Peter King Skyping in from New York City. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now we go to New York City. Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. He joins us every week. Always good to catch up with Peter on things all around the National Football League, MMQB.com. They have some cool new features. Actually, Peter, let's just start with that. I'll let you plug a couple things that you've got coming up on the site. I saw that you were pushing out there on Monday. Let's kick that around a little bit.
Well, Brad, we formed a partnership this year with State Farm, and one of the things that I have really wanted to do is I've wanted to go out and really kind of press the flesh around the United States to take the temperature of football, to find out what people think about this great game, and to see whether there's really any major pushback and any major long-term problems with this game. So last weekend, I went to San Francisco and Oakland. I did a high school game at Kezar Stadium Friday night, inner city football. I went to Marshawn Lynch's Youth League in Oakland Saturday morning, went to Cal Ole Miss Saturday night, and then went to see the Raiders on Sunday, just to take the temperature of all levels of football.
Yeah.
And what I'll just tell you this. We're running our first installment in this on Thursday at the MMQB. But one of the things that I really found is that we can talk all we want about how head trauma is a major issue. But these parents, especially at the youth level, they look at football in some ways as a bit of a salvation thing for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these kids across the United States who play football, I'm not saying they have nothing else, but they have very little else in their lives. And this is something that can provide discipline and structure. And while parents are certainly concerned about head trauma long term, they're also concerned with making sure that their kids survive their youths in some of these cities, these tough cities in the United States.
It's interesting you bring up about football at all levels, because there's been some blowback, Peter, off the first 2 weeks at the level and quality of NFL football is not up to standard. Are you seeing that? I've seen two games with the Cardinals, and it's not just the Cardinals. It's just decision-making by players. Games aren't crisp. Sure, it's the Lions and the Colts. The Lions looked better last night. But just the overall quality of football, what I'm seeing at the NFL level, not really what I want to see. Are you seeing it the same way?
In my opinion, that, and you're right about that, Brad, the first 2 weeks have not been impressive. I think one of the reasons is I think the NFL, and look, there's a lot of things that the NFL can and should be concerned with. But honestly, what I am finding with the NFL right now is that the offensive line play to me is so poor,
mm-hmm.
and so far behind defensive line play that I think it's going to take a while. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, you watched the Giants last night. I mean, have you seen a play all season so far, a passing play for the Giants? You certainly last night, where Eli Manning steps back there, has a clean pocket, and can scan for his weapons downfield. It's not necessarily that he doesn't have enough time to throw the ball, but every pocket is cluttered. And that is one of the biggest problems. You saw some of that in the first 2 weeks with Carson Palmer getting chased around.
Yep.
And so you look at this and you say, well, what's the solution? Quite honestly, I think that some teams, I will not be surprised if the New York Giants on Sunday in Philadelphia play some six-man line or play, have a blocking tight end to the right, to the left of Eric Flowers, their beleaguered left tackle, every snap. But I just think the larger issue right now, Brad, is that I think next year in the draft and next year in free agency, you're going to see tackles make a huge amount of money and get drafted probably higher than they should.
Well, it's interesting to me, Peter, because football's now a year-round deal, basically, with OTAs, the off-season workouts. You have, for the Cardinals, they started training camp the third week of July, and their line looks atrocious. And I get that injuries are part of the deal, but if you're doing football basically year-round and you put a product out on the field that is just organized or disorganized slop in some positions, what is all this work on players? I guess I'm concerned about player safety on one hand. On the other hand, if this is what we're dealt with and they're not getting better coming out of camp where they should be ready to play. And it's exasperating, if you can't tell. I'm exasperated by it.
It isn't that – I'll take the Giants, for instance, because they were on last night and
sure.
Everybody who wasn't that familiar with the Giants. You know, this is a team that – I'd say since Bill Parcells got there, 84, 85, right in that area, his second or third year. Ever since then, you can count on the New York Giants having a really good offensive line. However, their line right now is atrocious, and they have spent some high draft picks to try to fix it. Eric Flowers was the 9th pick in the draft 3 years ago. But unless you have that real quickness, unless you have almost the power forward type of quickness, to get out there to block and to at least deflect the Von Millers of the world, you're going to fail miserably. And Eric Flowers, he could be in practice, Brad, from the third week of May, never mind the third week of July, but he's just not quick enough to stop these guys. And I think the Giants, and there are many teams in the NFL who are in exactly the same shoes as the Giants and GM Jerry Reese and Coach Ben McAdoo now. They're trying desperately to figure out what to do. And I don't think that they have the answers right now. And in addition to that, Brad, once the season starts, really, tell me, what can you do on the offensive line? The only thing I think you can do, quite literally, is consistently leave an extra guy in there to block, which really plays havoc with everything you've planned throughout the offseason. And that, to me, is what teams like the Giants and the Seahawks, and again, I haven't seen enough of the Cardinals to know whether they're going to be in that boat, but, against a pretty mediocre pass rush on Sunday, they allowed 4 sacks and 9 significant pressures. So that doesn't bode well for the Cardinals either.
Peter King with us, the Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB.com. Great content that you could check out day in and day out. Dallas comes to Arizona, Monday Night Football. Have you had enough of Ezekiel Elliott on your daily menu, Peter? What do you make out of a Zeke at this point?
I don't know. I've said this a few times in the last week or so. Ezekiel Elliott needs to go to the Dak Prescott School of Maturity. And essentially what I've seen is a guy who needs to have his feet held to the fire, Brad. Enough enabling Zeke Elliott, really. People have got to hold him to the same standard that they hold every other player to. If the Dallas Cowboys had a guy right now, an unknown player, who stood in the field and watched a guy make an interception and start to run it back, if they saw that with the 53rd player on the roster, he'd be cut tomorrow.
Mm.
And, you know, you can't allow that. This is one of the player leaders on your team. And it screamed pre-Madonna to me. And that's not a reputation you want to have.
Dak Prescott had Tony Romo last year, at least on the roster. He doesn't have Tony Romo this year on the roster. Do you think that maybe he's relaxed a little bit by not having Romo on that roster looking over his shoulder?
You know, I don't know. I don't think he ever really viewed it that way, because for the majority of the season, mm-hmm. I should say, mm-hmm. Romo really wasn't ready to play. And so, you know, by the time that Romo was ready to play, Prescott had clearly painted himself as a winning quarterback, and they weren't going to take him out of the lineup. So I'm sure it was awkward, but I don't know that it's going to make him any more comfortable or whether that's going to do any good for this team. I do know this, that I saw some of the Broncos after that game say that we didn't think that Dak Prescott could beat us, so we were going to stop Ezekiel Elliott. Well, a bunch of teams might have thought that last year, and Dak Prescott went out and beat him. I mean, he went toe-to-toe in a classic NFL playoff game with Aaron Rodgers that Rodgers ended up winning because of the ridiculous throw to Jared Cook, in the last 10 seconds of the game. So, to me, I do think that that Dak Prescott's going to be fine. And I don't sense that he needs somebody over his shoulder, Brad, I don't sense that it matters to him,
right,
whether somebody's over his shoulder or not. He's one of these intensely self-motivated people that you run into in life.
Last question, I'll let you go. Peter King, the MMQB. Check out his content, mmqb.com. He and his staff do a terrific job. Carson Palmer's quarterback rating was in the mid-60s. Drew Stanton was throwing on the sideline, though Steve Kimes said that's just something he does from time to time. Two games, Carson has not looked great. He finished the game out and was able to win it. I guess as you look towards Monday night, is Carson Palmer's future, from your view, and I know you haven't seen them play much, but just from what you've read, and you have people inside the organization there, you think it's starting to be, if he doesn't perform well Monday night, we could see a change out here?
I still think that's a little early to say that. I think the only way that Bruce Arians would make a change is if he saw in Carson Palmer, A, the inability to protect himself and to get out of the way of a rush, and B, inaccuracy on medium and deep throws. If he saw that, then I think he would consider it. But, you know, look, Bruce Arians realizes that Carson Palmer has been great for him. And I think he knows that if he plays Drew Stanton instead of Carson Palmer, he's changing a lot of his offense, because he's probably taking a lot of the truly deep stuff out
yep.
of the game plan. So, Brad, I think you're right. I think that Carson really hasn't been anywhere near his best the first 2 weeks. I still think it's a little bit early. You know, it'd be one thing if you trusted your backup and say, we'll go to the Super Bowl with this guy. I mean, there's probably three or four of those guys in the entire league.
Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, with us via Skype. That's Peter King. We appreciate Peter with us. So Arizona plays at home against Utah on Friday night. And the Wildcats, they usually play Utah very tough down in Tucson, if I recall correctly. ASU plays at home against Oregon. So I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here about ASU. Eric, you don't have the Pac-12 network, so you're not going to be able to see ASU this week unless...
I'm going to the game, so I will...
Are you going to the game?
I will be able to see them,
Are you doing the double, or are you going as a fan?
Oh, no, I'm doing a double. But it's not really...
There's a day in between
double, so...
Are you going to a high school game Friday night?
I am.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Moon Valley Cactus Shadows.
Wow, you have a story then. Because on the surface, that's not...
Not yet, but I will.
Oh, you hear about one? On the surface, I wouldn't think that there's much.
I'm not sure. I haven't really got that far ahead. Jordan and Haley basically tell me where to go, and I go to the game and I find a story.
That's a good way to put it.
So
the game this week is Perry and Highland.
Maybe.
Yeah. So have you? Eric helps out. I mean, Eric and I, we all do a bunch of things here, but we started a new show about, what is it now, a month ago?
About a month.
That Haley and Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm, end up hosting on, I say end up, they host on Wednesdays. I don't know why I'm laughing about this.
The Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show is the official name.
And so we've seen through the years of doing this that there is a lot of interest, obviously, in high school. We aren't going to shy away from that. We're not going to pretend it doesn't exist. We're not just going to do a couple of hours on Saturday morning and say, see, we do high school. No, that's not how it works. High school is just as important as college and pro. They all fold in together. And so Perry is playing Highland, and that game is actually on our stream on Friday night. You don't think it's going to be a game, huh? The way it sounds. You're gonna make one of these fan bases mad?
I do every week.
I know. That's the thing. Eric
seem to piss off somebody every week. So.
It's awesome.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that the passion of pro or college would get people upset. But in the last 3 weeks, Eric's zone read. Eric writes this great notes column every week, zone read, of things that he sees. And for the last 3 weeks, you've pissed somebody off.
I just got under some people's skin, but it's okay.
Every week.
I'm not losing sleep over it.
Who are you going to make mad this week?
I don't know. I mean,
you focused in on anybody yet?
My column is due on Thursday morning, so I still have 48 hours to figure out who I'm going to irritate.
Column is due. Shut up. Get out of here. What do you mean your column is due?
Well, I put myself.
Whatever you put it. Yeah.
But I put myself on deadline. don't put me on deadline.
We have deadlines around here. I want a column. No, we don't. It's when you have things. And you know when to put it up. But I'm going to go over on ASU here for a second. Eric, does it mean anything that this is another Pac-12 network game?
No, because I'd expect ASU to be on the Pac-12 network a lot this year. I'd expect U of A to be on the Pac-12 network this year.
Okay, but let's go through this then.
Okay.
So U of A last week played on
Friday.
And they played on ESPN.
ESPN, main ESPN.
They were on big ESPN against UTEP?
They were.
Holy cow.
But it started so late in Texas and on the East Coast that you're on ESPN, but you're not really on ESPN, if that makes sense.
And U of A fans, give me a break here. I took a day off, okay? I went and camped. I just got away. So I listened to it.
I didn't miss much.
But so wait a minute. So U of A, UTEP was on ESPN. That game was 63-14 or something? Okay.
They were eating green chili tacos in the press box. The play-by-play announcers were in the third quarter. The game was so lopsided.
Awesome. That is awesome.
And they were talking about how close Juarez is to El Paso and just trying to do anything to kind of fill time, get through the end of that game.
Go to the boot farm.
That's it.
I've done games in El Paso, so I get it.
Great stadium, by the way.
Sure. I guess.
You know, it is. It really is a great stadium.
You know the most famous UTEP football player that you and I both know is Seth Joyner.
Yes.
You know,
good call.
And I keep telling Seth, why don't you just go coach down there? But he didn't want to get his head kicked in.
The most famous athlete from UTEP would probably be Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, Tim Hardaway. I digress. We digress here, which is fine. So U of A, UTEP's been on ESPN. U of A against NAU was on Pac-12 Network.
Yes.
And U of A's game in between
against Houston was on ESPNU.
It's on ESPNU. And their game this week is on ESPNU. So they'll have had three of their four games on the ESPN family of networks. Switch over to Arizona State. ASU New Mexico State, Pac-12 Network.
Yep.
ASU
San Diego State, Pac-12 Network.
Pac-12 Network. ASU Texas Tech,
Fox Sports
Region.
Yes.
Region. It's important to point that out. This week's game, Pac-12 Network. Next week's game against Stanford, Pac-12 Network. Four times they're being put on network that Eric can't get at his own house.
And I haven't been able to get since
he's never been able to get
the Pac-12 Network actually started.
Okay. U of A, on the other hand, four games on the ESPN family of networks. That's very important when you're trying to get somebody watch the program.
No doubt.
It's very important when you have players on this team saying, hey, mom, hey, dad in Texas or wherever, watch us. And for some reason, ASU is getting the shaft on this deal where they're being assigned this third tier network, and they want to tell us how great they are, but you got to search long and hard to find the Pac-12 network.
You would rather be on the ESPN family of networks in a non-ideal time slot than be on the Pac-12 network in a more ideal time slot.
Because you can tell that recruit we're on ESPN this week.
And people, like you said, out of state can find all the – I mean, almost everyone has all the ESPN channels. They can, you know, sure, they can stream the games or whatever. It's a little bit trickier with the Pac-12.
We're not talking about quality of broadcast or any of that stuff. And even that can be debated, okay? What we're talking about here is just the simple fact that through ASU's early part of the season, most every week they're being assigned to this network that not many people can find or get. They've heard about it, and they can say, well, you can stream it, and that's fine. But it's not ESPN, and that is a shot, again, at Arizona State. Not by me. I'm merely pointing out fact that the conference doesn't care. Michael Fabiano just off the set. Next, talking fantasy football. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sismat. And now just off the set at the NFL Network, it is the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. All things fantasy football from Michael Fabiano at the NFL Network and NFL.com. You can check out all of his content. All right, I'm getting lots of questions about Jay Cutler. Alex Smith, real or not, on the quarterback end. The injuries at tight end. And a whole bunch of mailbag stuff. What do you want? I'll be the easy interview guy. What do you want to start with? What's in your wheelhouse?
Whatever. It's all in my wheelhouse. What are you talking about? Everything's in the wheelhouse.
What are you talking about? I'm the Hall of Famer here. Come on.
Come on. Well, no, I'm not doing that. Come on. So,
don't you know who I am?
Are you done now? Are you done, Brad? Come
on,
buddy.
I'm stepping back.
He's just squeezing shoes already. That's great. So with Cutler, had a pretty good game last week, but there's always that risk that Jay Cutler turns Jay Cutler on you. And he's got a good matchup against the Jets this week, and we all know their defense is not good and their team is not good. So I would say that Cutler's streamable. I don't know that he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback this week, but he's certainly a guy you could stream if you have a super flex position, something like that. And at tight end, it's bad. It is a barren wasteland when you've got Greg Olsen hurt, Jordan Reed's hurt, Jimmy Graham's hurt, and a lot of the other tight ends, not named Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce, are just not putting up numbers. Delanie Walker's been pretty good. So if you don't have one of these elite tight ends or even a guy who's consistent like a Walker or a Kyle Rudolph, you're literally streaming defenses like you would kickers and defenses. I mean, it is unreal that the position has sort of come to this. Even a guy like Evan Engram, mm-hmm, last night, he's on the field a lot. He's getting targeted. He's getting targeted in the red zone. So fantasy owners are going to be finding themselves picking up players at that position that maybe they didn't think they would be when the preseason hit. And that's sort of what the position is right now. It's really lost a lot of its fantasy luster.
Okay, so let's go through the quarterback stuff a little bit deeper. Andrew Luck, is it time to give up on Andrew Luck if you've put him on your roster? Because it doesn't sound like he's coming back anytime soon. What's your strategy on Luck?
So this is why I always tell people to add an IR spot or two in their leagues, because if you draft a guy, you should be able to put him on an IR spot if he's injured, if he's actually on the IR. The NFL does it, so fantasy fans should be able to do it. If you don't have that spot, depending on how deep your roster is and what other quarterbacks you have, I mean, I have Andrew Luck in a couple of leagues, and I'm just sitting back and waiting.
Sure.
Because he's so good that eventually he will be worth the wait, but there's going to come a time, and I don't think it's hit yet, where it's going to be a decision to cut ties or continue to burn a spot on him. And if the Colts believed he was going to miss more than six games, I think they would have put him on the PUP list.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an odd situation with the Colts, and especially after some of the things that Chuck Pagano has said. But with that being said, I have him, I'm holding him, I'm waiting to see what happens, because I believe that at some point the wait will be very beneficial and I'll be rewarded, because you're talking about one of the four or five best quarterbacks in fantasy football.
Okay, is it fair to say you were not all in on Alex Smith at the start of the year? Because most nobody was all in on Alex Smith, right?
Well, I'm sure the Chiefs were, the Smith family was.
That's good.
I don't know about anybody else, but no, because look, he's been in the league a long time. He sort of is what he is.
Right.
He's never finished better than 10th in fantasy points among quarterbacks during his time in Kansas City. And the Chiefs added Pat Mahomes because he was going to be the future of that franchise, and he will be the future of that franchise. But Alex Smith is a guy who's playing to prove something, playing to earn a job for 2018 somewhere else. We'll see. Yeah. But averaging 23.5 points a game, I just don't see that being something that he can continue throughout the course of the season. He's a matchup-based quarterback, which is sort of what he's always been.
Okay, Cousins or Wentz from the mailbag this week? Cousins or Wentz?
Cousins has been dreadful this season. The Redskins' offense, really, outside of Chris Thompson, has not really done much. I'm going Wentz against the Giants, and their backfield, their defensive backfield is banged up. They did not look good against the Cowboys and Dak Prescott either. So I'm going Wentz. He's hot right now, and he's at home. And if you look historically, when the Giants go to Philadelphia, the result is not good. The Eagles typically do pretty well against the G-men on their home field, so I'm going Wentz.
Hey, Brad, ask Fabs the view of starting Alshon Jeffrey and Dez Bryant this week.
You typically are going to be starting these guys week in and week out. Dez, he didn't have a bad game last week. He did score a touchdown on Aqib Talib. The week before wasn't so good. This week he could see some Patrick Peterson. And if you're a Cardinals fan, well, maybe you want to bench Dez because you don't believe he'll put up numbers against your defense. I still say, at worst, I mean, he's a wide receiver too. And as for Alshon Jeffrey, if Janoris Jenkins is out again, that's huge, huge for the Eagles' pass attack. But regardless, I would still say that Alshon is a guy who is a wide receiver two slash flex. If the Giants' defensive backfield is 100% intact, that will make the matchup a little more difficult.
He is the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, right off the set at the NFL Network. He joins us every Tuesday. You can get your questions in over on Twitter. You can, of course, follow Michael and read all of his content. He's on Twitter as well, NFL.com and on the NFL Network. Sticking with the mailbag, McCoy or Henry?
Is that a question that you never thought you'd hear?
That's a question I never thought I'd hear.
I'm still going McCoy. The matchup is not great against the Broncos, but I typically want to wait a couple of more weeks before I sort of don a running back, the new number one fantasy running back on a team. And with DeMarco Murray there, and he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring, I still don't see Derrick Henry being the guy. And they are playing the Seahawks, too, which is a tough matchup.
All right, sticking with the mailbag. Chris Carson, worth the hype, even with his offensive line. Buck Allen, the running back. Two-part question.
I'd rather pick up Buck Allen off the waiver wire. Terrence West is a little banged up, and Buck's a really good fit for that offense. They like to throw the football. They use their running backs as pass catchers, and Allen is better than West in that regard. As for Carson, it's funny because when you went into the preseason, it's like, okay, this is a three-headed monster with Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls and C.J. Procise. Eddie Lacy's a healthy scratch last week, and you know I've been talking about him as a bust for months.
Yes, you have.
Rawls apparently gets the starting job, but it's Chris Carson who sees most snaps and the most touches, so he is certainly rosterable. He needs to be on rosters in all leagues at this point. Do I believe the hype? I don't know that he's going to be the next Marshawn Lynch, but he's clearly getting enough touches where he could be in that flex starter conversation.
A couple other questions. We'll let him go. Had Greg Olsen, Jason Witten as the replacement. What's your view?
He's the number one tight end in fantasy football right now in PPR league. So, yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't love Witten last week because if you look historically, he hasn't done great on the road, and the Broncos' defense is pretty tough. With that being said, I swung and missed in week two on Witten. I hit on him in week one. I love the matchup against the G-men. Now you've got the Cowboys playing the Cardinals, and I do think that Cardinals defense can be beaten by Jason Witten in the tight end. So if you look at what happened last week, Jack Doyle had a big PPR game against the Cards. So Witten is certainly startable, especially in PPR leagues, and especially with the state of the tight end position being what it is.
Sticking with tight ends, doubtful, I can pick up Watson or Ebron.
I would go Ebron, although I don't love the matchup this week. You know, Watson had a big game last week, was targeted quite a bit, but I just don't believe that that's going to be a trend we're going to see week in and week out. They've got a matchup in London against the Jaguars this week, and the Jaguars gave up a lot of points to Walker in week two, but his touchdown was of the rushing variety. So it's a little bit deceptive there. So I would go with Ebron.
Last question. Anything you like coming up this week? Anything that's catching your eye, Michael?
Well, you mentioned the Derrick Henry situation in Tennessee, and I want to see what happens there because that is a situation where if Henry takes over and becomes more of the featured back, he could be a monster for fantasy fans. I just don't know if that's going to happen if DeMarco Murray is 100%, and at this point it doesn't seem like he is. But one of the things that's really surprising me is that the wide receiver position is tanking so far, mm-hmm. like it did last year. Julio Jones had a good game last week, was not good in week one. A.B. had a bad game last week. A.J. Green's been a disappointment because Andy Dalton has forgotten to throw the football. He doesn't know how to do that anymore, it seems. Doug Baldwin's been a disappointment so far this season. So we're seeing some of the big-name wideouts like we did last year putting up some, unfavorable numbers, let's put it that way. And it's only 2 weeks into the season, so I think things will turn around for some of these guys. But you've got to be a little bit worried if you draft some of these players in the first round and the second round and the third round are not producing right now. And that's been a common theme among some of the big-name wide receivers in fantasy football.
You're on fire today. I mean, you're...
You know
you're,
what? So we had Jerry Cantrell on our show today,
yeah.
which you can check out NFL Network, the guitar god from Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
I've got my friends here, Kathy and JJ, who are in town to watch Nicole and Bree, and Nicole's doing Dancing with the Stars, the Bella Twins, so they're in town. So I got some friends visiting, and, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Listen to you.
I get fired up just talking to you
every week. Listen to you. That's good.
You know? Come back. Actually, JJ lives in Arizona.
All right. Well, he's got...
So he probably listens to the show, and if he doesn't, I'm going to make him listen to the show.
That's his problem if he doesn't, all right? See you. Stay well. Thank you.
All right, brother. Take care.
You got it. There's Michael Fabiano. Wow, he was, like, really good today. Not that he's not good. That was solid. I'm not surprised either. Hey, one other thing. I mentioned it early in the show, and I want to make sure that I emphasize this. So Arizona State is hosting Oregon on Saturday night. Doug Howler had a note this morning that really caught my eye, and that's why he's out there every day, and I'm not. Opponents have converted 54% on third downs against ASU this year. That is the worst in the country. 130th. The worst. And it's not like I sit here and look at things and say, well, I got to get this in there because it's going to dig on ASU and it's not digging on U of A. I don't care. I didn't go to either school. But man, oh man, 130th on third down conversions. Dead last. That's unacceptable. It's little things you look at as a program and say, okay, this has nothing to do with stadium, has nothing to do with facilities. This has nothing to do with being a Sun Devil and the Tillman, you know, the Tillman statue. None of that stuff. This has nothing to do with Manny Wilkins or Nikhil. This has everything to do with you can't get a team off the field on third down. Doesn't work well. You're going to be 1-3 if that doesn't improve this week. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric produces, as always. You enjoy your Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.